Everybody, welcome to Friday Filibuster, a sleeker version, a bonus version of the Friday Filibuster, because it's essentially a fireside chat between myself, David Johnson, and Michael Staley. Michael, how are you?
I'm okay.
All right. And he says that because just before we hit record, he was sorting through this week's product list, and I believe it was a metric ton of excrement slang word. So,
there's twice as much as usual.
So, yeah, here's your little peek behind the curtain of how DVD Verdict spins its gears, and Michael has the task of sorting through this stuff and balancing out what goes where. So we thought we'd kind of take you behind the scenes of what we're looking at. So
it's very different. People don't know about this kind of stuff.
That's right. That's right. So
now, don't get me wrong. We are extremely grateful to all of the studios and our agency partners and everything who just load us up with product every week because, I mean, we are the one site. I mean, I compel you to find another film review site that covers the depth and breadth of what's available than what we do. I mean, we're literally posting 8 reviews a day, 7 days a week.
Yeah. Who does that? Ask yourself.
Nobody else.
So, yeah, we might be snarky here and there, but it is obviously hugely appreciated. And it's nice that, you know, even if you're doing direct-to-DVD stuff, you have an outlet to get your work noticed, too.
Yeah. Right, right. So here's one that came in from Lionsgate. It's called Living Will, and it's rather unfortunate because it stars Bam Margera and his buddy Ryan Dunn.
Ooh, yeah.
Smashed Aaron and killed himself.
That's right. That's right. So is that a horror movie as well?
It's a ghost story.
So, you know, this brings up a point, because I've got a DVD that you sent me to review, and it's the Sean William Scott movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I can't recall the name of it, but it looks like
American Loser or
American Loser,
like.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, it looks like a movie, because I was surprised by, like, the pedigree behind it. There are names attached to it that seemed, you know, higher echelon. So, are there movies that are geared, aimed towards feature film releases, but get shelved for one way or another, and then just get released?
I don't think anybody sets out to do that, but here's a case in point. A movie I saw Monday. I don't remember. Richard Gere's new movie, The Double, which also co-starred Topher Grace and Martin Sheen. Big cast, and it's a political thriller. Now, what I was saying is Harrison Ford would have played this role 25 years ago, and Richard Gere nails it. But it's an Image Entertainment release. It's going to have a very small theatrical release. And in fact, it was supposed to come out this weekend, and it's got pushed back an entire month for whatever reason. And the DVD was already announced today. So I think they need to put it in the theaters in order to get award consideration. But other than that, it's going right to DVD. So even I've been in this business for 8-9 years and been out in L.A. here for 6, don't really understand all of the machinations that the distributors and the filmmakers and the producers go through in order to get theatrical screening time for their pictures. It's kind of a mystery.
Yeah. I mean, we've got, you know, it is amazing how much stuff does cross our porches to review with names that you wouldn't associate with straight to DVD fare.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. So, you know, it used to be like Jean-Claude Van Damme was the king of straight to DVD actioners.
Yeah, Seagal, obviously.
Right, exactly.
Dolph Lundgren.
Yep. But now those guys are considered like B-list stars doing things like Expendables.
So they've always been promoted.
Yeah. Just kind of weird.
All right, what else? Anything else? What else do you see in that pile?
Let's see. We've got plenty of TV on DVD. We've got all of the CSIs came at one time. CSI, CSI New York, CSI Miami.
I do. We had a quick conversation because you said we got a big blockbuster en route, Transformers, right?
Yes.
Darkest Moon.
It's here.
I'm typically a Transformers apologist. I grew up with them, so kind of have a soft spot. But man, it is just amazing to me how Michael Bay really manages to screw himself over sometimes, even when like he's got something halfway decent going. Like, I think we all agree that the second movie certainly was a train wreck, and the first one definitely, you know, the first one had its moments, but it was certainly weak in a lot of places. But the third one, you know, once they landed in Chicago to beat the living hell out of Chicago, I thought that there was something, you know, it could have been pretty cool. I mean, there's some cool stuff to go on. I mean, the Transformers were tearing apart Transformers. Optimus Prime was saying we'll kill them all. There's some generally nifty action scenes, like
oh yeah,
the parrot, you know, like the flying men,
the flying squirrels,
flying squirrels. I mean, and like the whole falling building and
oh yeah,
you know, a lot of so generally cool, and you're into it. I was into it. You know, because third movie, he reduced, thankfully, even though they were still overused, Sam's stupid parents.
Oh, God.
Terrible, yes. Like, terrible, but at least they were Jar Jar Binked. You know, they were kind of diluted right. A little bit. He got rid of those two racially insensitive robots.
Yeah, but in their place, then we got kind of a toned-down version of that with those two little robots.
That's true, but, man, I'll take that.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I'll take that over. I mean, it's for kids, so I do understand that. So I'm into it. The action's really pulling together. We're building to a badass fight scene, right? A badass,
yep.
Between Optimus.
Showdown.
That guy, yeah. And then, you know, Megatron, who, if, like me, you grew up, Megatron was like the bad guy. I mean, Megatron.
He was the big bad, yeah.
Megatron. You know, but here's a little spoiler, but he's reduced to like shivering like a meth addict in an alley. As like,
yeah, was completely taken out.
Taken out, and then it takes Sam's idiot girlfriend, played by whatever her name is.
Rosie Huntington Wheatley.
Whatever. Just totally pointless. And then Bay just gives her this terrible, terrible line. Terrible line saying, you know, oh, you've become so-and-so's bitch. And it turns into be like the biggest pivotal moment in the movie. And I mean, I like the end point. I liked having Megatron jump in for a big three, you know, three-person showdown, three Transformer showdown. Fine. But why, oh, why, oh, why did it have to just be that moronic scene? And the answer is, here's this character who sucks. Let's give her something important to do and, you know, and cool to say. And wouldn't it be cool if she called Megatron a bitch or something? And if I could do a custom Blu-ray bookmark thing, I would just take that out because it was just, it's unbelievable. And, you know, Bay just seems to content to just, whatever he thinks is cool, he'll just put it in there, no matter how terrible it makes things.
Well, and I think the discouraging thing is, how many different ways could you have gotten to the same point?
Absolutely. Again, we're not talking about Shakespeare here, but just right. To get Megatron pissed and messing around, do you really even need that? Can't you have one scene where Megatron is like, cut away, and he's snarling, and he's like, yeah, he's pretty mad. That's it. That's all you need, right?
Yeah.
Then he shows up. He delivers some exposition. You know, Optimus is mine, or Earth is mine. You know? Hey, it's lame, but guess what? It's a lot better than that. So I just don't understand how, like, it's just amazing how someone could watch that and say, wow, this is cool. You know?
You know what the really sad thing is? That movie made more than $1 billion worldwide.
It just goes to show you how there is, you know, the core, and I'm one of them. You know, I paid to go see that movie in terrible 3D, by the way.
Yeah, I know, I did too.
Yeah, I mean, and not even like cool, comfortable IMAX 3D. I got the ghetto ones that barely fit over my glasses. You know, so 2.5 hours of that was pretty brutal. But I don't know, you know, robot, and the action scenes are great. It's just, I mean, you had an hour of just pulverizing, butt-kicking, you know, action in Chicago with giant robots and stuff, and then just this moment almost derails the whole thing. And you can argue that it does. So it's ridiculous. So that's my Transformers rant.
Well, and the funny thing is, the past two releases, when it's come out on DVD and Blu-ray, Paramount has made a huge deal inviting press over to the studio. We got to interview Peter Cullen, and they did big, you know, special effects extravaganzas. And we let this one, nothing.
Really?
They did nothing for it. Very quiet. It's a very simple release. It's not in some, you know, three variation formats. It's just one Blu-ray.
Are there bonus
combo
features on it?
Yeah, let me dig it out here. But there's not a ton. Let's see. Yeah, it's just your standard two disc.
Huh.
You know, includes a digital copy and the DVD. And God, the print is so small.
And while we're talking about these Blu-ray releases, can I just say I am shocked that we haven't gotten like a tricked-out Dark Knight Blu-ray yet?
I don't know, unless because Christopher Nolan's finishing the trilogy, that they're going to do it.
I mean, you know that's coming, but
yeah,
I'm shocked that we haven't gotten that, because I thought for sure that's like the most asthmatic Blu-ray release for a giant, you know, blockbuster.
There are no bonus features on this whatsoever.
Wow.
Is there another version? Hang
gotta
on.
Be, right? There's gotta be.
This surprises me. Transformers Dark of the Moon. I'm sitting here loading all this stuff up. No, there's not.
Wow.
This is it. So I wonder if they're going to do one at the holiday time.
They got to. You have to. I mean, you're
they'll do a three-disc set.
Of course. I mean, you're telling me they didn't load up with features here?
I mean, at least The Dark Knight had a couple.
Yeah, I mean, they were
featurettes on it. This has nothing. It's literally the Blu-ray and the DVD. That's it.
Wow. That's flummoxed.
I don't know what's going on there.
Any other, do you have any other big releases in the pile?
Alright, let's see what else here. You know what, so they're remaking this Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy.
Okay.
With Daniel Craig, which is, it's a very highly respected, I think it was a British miniseries. Anyways, it's coming out, it starred Alec Guinness, it was 1979, so it was just after Star Wars. And, we've got the DVD set here in time for the theatrical release of the new one. Zookeeper, by Kevin James.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That had like one of the worst trailers I've ever seen.
Really?
I think that's the one where Seth Green was like singing to a gorilla or something. Ah, terrible.
More TV on DVD, Modern Family, Chuck. Uh-huh.
Modern Family a Blu-ray release?
Yes.
Because I'm still stunned that like Parks and Rec and The Community don't get any Blu-ray releases.
I don't know. I think it comes down to a business decision. Eric and I were talking about this, that the fantasy sci-fi action series tend to sell better on Blu-ray than just your standard sitcoms.
So is it just cost prohibitive then to invest in that Blu-ray technology for that?
I would think so, not in this day and age. Especially since all of these shows are already broadcast in HD. So it's just porting over those masters. But if it's just the matter of a loss perspective, like how much they actually project they'll make by selling it. But then Mike and Molly, which is a CBS sitcom, gets a Blu-ray release from CBS. So what? It's all very hit and miss. Who knows?
All right.
Beyond me. What else? Footloose, the original Kevin Bacon.
Oh, great. Yes. Which I've never seen. I've only seen like the trailer.
Really?
Chicken scene, I think.
It's your classic 80s teen film.
Yeah.
we've got this, and this is weird. You're talking about Blu-ray. So Friday the 13th has been released probably about as much as Evil Dead has been on DVD and Blu-ray. So we're getting, Paramount is releasing the Ultimate Collection, which contains all of the movies and a miniature hockey mask.
Okay. On but Blu-ray, you said?
No, on DVD.
Oh,
there is no Blu-ray equivalent of this, which surprises me. Again, so is it? This is the cheap way to do. You already have the remastered versions of these that were released individually, so you dump them into a set in time for Halloween.
I guess. Why not?
But you would think that the market would want Blu-rays from them. So again,
maybe it's something as dumb as the hockey mask. You know?
Yeah.
People like those. You've seen those pop up everywhere. Those trinkets.
That's true. Melissa just sent me a note. Okay. So we have not gotten Star Wars on Blu-ray yet.
Ah, we have not. Okay.
We have not. So we're checking with our rep. I'm afraid if you don't have it by now, a copy wasn't sent to you.
Ah, lame.
Due to limited product at our disposal. Now, this bothers me because A, it's from Fox, and B, we cover everything that Fox sends us. You do a lot of those Christian films.
Oh, yeah, right. Yep.
That's all Fox. We do their kids stuff. We do their television stuff.
Yeah, throw us a bone here.
Well, see, and that irks me. And there are other sites who have the review already posted. So now I'm going to have to go out and buy it.
So typically, and here's another little peek behind, sometimes when this happens, you know, will, you know, a reviewer or a judge, you know, will purchase it and kind of do it on his own, right?
I mean, right, which you've done in the past.
Yeah, like Ironclad, you know, that was something I had been anticipating for. So I knew I was going to own that anyway. 13 Assassins, right? We didn't get that on Blu-ray, right?
The DVD, we didn't get the Blu-ray.
Yeah,
right.
That's right. So I bought that. Yeah. So obviously if a release this big, you know, would be...
But there's times that I'll go over to Best Buy and just shell out $100 just to buy stuff that we did not get from the studios, whether it be catalog releases from Universal, and then just put them on the product list the next week. Yeah. And it's unfortunate that we have to do that. Because for all the work that we do for the studios on big releases that we get shut out.
I know.
That's really unfortunate.
Help a brother out.
Yep.
Well, do we have any overseas Thailand, Indonesian martial arts movies this week?
I don't remember seeing anything come through.
Ah, There was actually a trailer, quick digression, but I don't know if you saw this trailer, played for a movie called The Raid.
Yes, you were talking about that. Yeah. They were already talking about doing an American remake.
I saw that. I said, well, okay, but it will be far inferior because maybe it's like labor and union practices, you know, are much more lax over there. But, man, dudes are just wrecking each other for real in Thailand and Indonesia, you know, no quick edits, no quick cuts.
There's two here. One's called Tajomoru, The Avenging Blade.
Okay.
From Funimation.
Yeah.
It's a live action. And then the other one is called The Stool Pigeon from Wellgo, USA. And it's at the bottom of the pile here. Let me see if I can dig it out. This does not make for very good radio.
That's all right. I'm going to see The Stool Pigeon. I just pulled it up here. Oh. Policeman Don Lee often worked with informants, but numerous too close calls and failed missions caused him to see the world as one betrayal after another.
So it's a crime drama thing.
Sounds like a crime thriller, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, it's we got a ton of reality TV this week, too, from Discovery Channel and Animal Planet and Military Channel, Science Channel, Learning Channel, Travel Channel. So you're not going to find these types of reviews from other sites.
That's right.
They just don't do them.
That's right.
So that's what has long frustrated me, is that we do all this extra work and we don't get rewarded for it. So we still wind up at the bottom of the pile, and the IGNs and Blu-ray.coms of the world get all the...
Yeah, but those are typically underwritten, right? I mean, those are...
Yeah, well, IGN is owned by Fox, which, right, of course, they're going to get it because Fox is the releasing studio for Star Wars. I don't know who owns Blu-ray.com. But, yeah, we're one of the few independents.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
So, but, I mean, I do get to... I mean, one of the perks of being out here is I do get to go to screenings, and I did see Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
That's right. You had mentioned you were going to go see it. So,
well, and it's funny because we had talked about an objection about the Mac had brought up about the hillbillies.
Yeah.
Being the horror convention. Well, this takes that convention and turns it around and flips it upside down. So the whole movie takes place from the dumb hillbillies' perspective. It's your typical teen horror movie in the forest where the college kids go out and get terrorized by hillbillies. But what you see is from the hillbillies' perspective, and they're just a couple of idiots.
Huh.
So when Alan Tudyk chases what looks like chasing the kid with the chainsaw through the woods, he had accidentally sawed into a log that had a beehive in it, and he was running away from the bees.
So wait, so do the kids think that they are being menaced by these killer hillbillies? I gotcha.
Yes.
Sounds
and they
clever.
Do stupid things, like the kid is running away, and he impales himself on a log.
Gotcha.
So it looks like he got killed, but he did it himself. And it's that same type of thing through the whole movie, and it's extremely funny. There's a lot of laugh out loud moments. It's a little movie, you know, something that could have been, they probably could have trimmed 10 minutes in the editing room, but it's well worth checking out, especially for people who love the horror genre.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
And Tyler Bean and Alan Tudyk are definitely,
very
cult.
Yes.
They have street cred for that.
And Katrina Bowden, who plays Charisse on 30 Rock, is kind of the lead bimbo-esque female.
Nice.
So, but I'm going to see Contagion this weekend. I'm going to see...
I got
to
say, I just don't see the attraction. Personally, I just do not want to sit through a movie where people are coughing up blood and getting sick and dying.
You know, and it's weird because Steven Soderbergh is such a compelling filmmaker for him to kind of pick something so pedantic. You know? It's kind of odd. I'm going to see George Clooney's Ides of March on Sunday, which Clooney is actually going to be there doing a Q&A afterwards,
oh,
so that
cool.
Should be interesting.
I've actually heard that it's fairly nonpartisan as well.
Really?
Just, okay. That's, I mean, I'd be surprised, but that's just what the rumor mill I've read. So.
Yeah. I missed an opportunity to see Drive before it opened.
Yeah, I was just talking to someone about Drive. They're saying it's like shockingly violent.
Yeah, and Albert Brooks plays a bad guy.
But you know, that's a pretty good turn for him, I think.
It is. It's a great move.
How about Attack the Block? Are we getting that? Because I've heard a lot of chatter about that movie.
Well, Paul just sent in a review because it was released in England this week.
Oh,
so
right.
He emailed me today and said, hey, I just got this. Do you want to write a review? So we'll actually have a review up when you see this, at least from a Region 2 perspective. But yes, we should be getting a,
nice,
a U.S. release as well.
Yeah, a lot of buzz about that.
Yeah.
Well, see, I know you're getting working on putting this list together to send it out to all of us. I guess you can. So, one quick question before maybe we wrap this up and I get back to playing Gears of War 3. So, So how did you decide, and one more peek behind the curtain, how do you decide who gets what to review per week?
That's a good question, and I think it changes from week to week. It's tough because we've got, I think we have 38 active writers right now.
Yeah.
So I try and give a little bit. My goal is, and my goal has long been, to get everybody at least something that they want, you know, because everybody gives me a list of five or six things.
And typically, if there's a pretty big, sexy release, that gets clamored for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, I have a feeling there's, like, Transformers will be asked for quite a bit this week. But what I try and do is our editors put in an extra, you know, put in the extra time to help me with the editing. So that saves me some time. You guys, the podcasters, put in extra time doing shows each week. There are guys like you and Clark who are just sheer volume guys. I mean, 5, 6, 7, 8 reviews a week. So I try and even it out from week to week and make sure that I'm good to the people who are good to the site. You know, and some weeks, if someone doesn't get exactly what they want, I try and make up for it the next week and give them.
Now, have you found that different writers fall into different niches as far as what?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There are guys who, you know, we have Victor Valdivia who loves the music stuff, and he covers all of that stuff for us. Daryl Loomis kind of takes some of the foreign, more obscure, maybe, you know, crime, exploitation type things, stuff that nobody else. Tom Becker is definitely an exploitation guy, loves the 70s and 80s kind of schlocky B stuff. So we have a diverse group of people who make my job easier because they tend to find different things that they're interested in reviewing. And of course, you know, I try and there's stuff that has to be done. So everybody gets blind assignments from time to time. And you know, well,
that's right.
That works. Yeah. I mean, I try and be as completely equitable as possible. And yet at the same time, in the back of my head, wondering who's going to do the best job with this review. You know, go with the hot hand, go with the person who has a vested interest in writing about this or a particular angle they want to share. Or sometimes it's just a matter of, I would really like to see what this writer does with this title.
Nice.
But it's a good 3-hour process from start to finish.
Fun.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. There's a little peek. Yeah, peek behind the curtain. How things are. Things run at DVD Verdict, so I hope you enjoyed this little impromptu Friday filibuster. You know, we'll certainly return to our normal fare, but for now, enjoy your weekend and enjoy your. When are you seeing The Ides of March?
Sunday.
Yeah, so that might be interesting. I'd be interested to hear what your thoughts are on that. So,
yeah,
enjoy your quality time with Mr. Clooney.
Yeah, that should be fun. I have not met him yet. So
nice.
Yeah. Cool.
All right, well, that's it. I will send everybody into the weekend with positive reinforcement. Because that's what the Friday filibuster is, nonstop positivity. So excuse me while I go chainsaw through some aliens. Have a great weekend.